The reading is from Acts of the Apostles, the early church, chapters 2, verses 1 to 21. You can find it on page 885 of the Bibles. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And listen to what I say." Excuse me. "Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? Father God, as we explore this passage, as we think again about the coming of your Holy Spirit on your church, will you send your Holy Spirit on us now? May we hear your voice clearly. Will you fill us with power and purify us and assure us of your holy presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want this morning, this Pentecost, this year, to think about that question that the crowd ask when they see all these extraordinary things going on, when they see the apostles bursting out, speaking in all these amazing languages. What does this mean? they say, verse 12. It's a great question, isn't it? What does this mean? And the fascinating thing about Pentecost is you can approach that question in two completely different ways, although they complement each other beautifully. As the former Bishop of Durham, Tom Wright, has said, it's a little bit like a hurricane. There's two ways to understand a hurricane. You can get a weatherman to draw you a chart. You can see all the sort of the lines on the chart. You can track where it's moving. You can begin to understand what that hurricane is doing. But the other way of doing it is you go and you stand in the middle of the hurricane and you feel the force and you feel the power. So I'm wondering if we can do a little bit of that this morning. I'm going to do a little pen sketch of Pentecost, what it means, how so much of the Old Testament is bearing down on this moment as we see so many of the promises of God from long ago coming to fulfillment now. And then I want us actually just to be open to experiencing the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do that as we gather around the table, as we take communion. We're going to just take it a bit more slowly than we normally do. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come in power on us as we receive the bread and the wine. We're going to have a little bit longer afterwards to reflect and to receive. So, should we do the pen sketch first of all, the nice academic bit, the bit where we can see what God is doing in his big story of creation? And three themes, I think, come out really strongly from this Pentecost passage. The first is that God is filling his people with power. I know it's a bit obvious, but it's a good point to make nonetheless. God is filling his people with power because what's going on here is a good old-fashioned theophany. Theophany is a word that I learnt when I was doing GCSE religious studies, and I don't think I've had cause to use it since, so I'm quite pleased to get it in. Theophany simply means that when God turns up, stuff happens in the natural world. You know, earthquakes happen, there's lightning, there's thunder, there's fire, there's wind. And so what we've got here in Acts chapter 2 is simply God turning up in a physical presence of a strong wind blowing through the place where they're meeting, of tongues of fire settling on each of them. And if you think just back through the Old Testament through in your head, if you've been reading it, if you've been doing it in the Bible course, some of those big moments in the Old Testament when God turns up in power are accompanied by thunder and lightning and fire and wind. Just think of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Do you remember the people are so afraid even to approach the mountain because it's covered in smoke? Think of the story of Elijah. When he's challenging the prophets of Baal and fire is poured out from heaven and burns up his offering and water is, even the water around the altar is burnt up. That's the sort of power that we have coming in here into his disciples. And doesn't it make a difference? Doesn't it completely transform them? Over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about these disciples and how they encounter the risen Jesus after Easter. And to be honest, they're still looking pretty clueless, aren't they? They're still getting a lot wrong. They're still heading off out of Jerusalem when they should be waiting. They're still going back fishing. They're still nervous and anxious, hiding in rooms. But today, everything changes. The Holy Spirit fills them with power. And they're no longer hiding behind closed doors. They're bursting open those doors and rushing out and telling the whole of the gathered community coming together for Pentecost about God's amazing deeds. That's the sort of power that comes on us. I think sometimes we think that we're a pretty helpless bunch, you know, that we're nice and we're pleasant and we're kind to people, but actually does it make a huge amount of difference? And Acts tells us in chapter 2, God fills us with power. When we pray for people, when we pray into difficult situations, when we pray for healing, we are praying in power because we have a powerful God. If Acts chapter 2 talks about power, here's another little theme to add to the pen sketch. It's talking about purity. It's talking about purity. When those tongues of fire come and rest on each of the disciples, perhaps we're meant to be thinking of those passages in like Psalm 66. It's there in a number of the prophets as well, Malachi and Zechariah, that God is a refining fire, that he is refining his people so that they are pure, like gold, like silver. What's special about gold and silver? It's beautiful. It's beautiful and it's special. And it really stands out as a witness to the world around it, that here is something beautiful and different and special that speaks of God and his beauty and his love and his power. This is what we call holiness. The work of the Holy Spirit is to make God's people holy. There's a lovely tie-in here with the Old Testament. They're gathering on the day of Pentecost. Now, we always think Pentecost is a nice church festival that we invented. But no, the apostles were gathering for Pentecost because it's actually a Jewish festival when they remember and give thanks for the receiving of the law. Having come out of Egypt, they go to Mount Sinai, they receive the law. And so every year at Pentecost, they thank God for the law. And the law was what made the people of God holy. It was how God taught them how to live. Of course, they weren't very good at it. It tended to go wrong quite a lot. And so Jeremiah promises that that law that was written on stone is going to be written onto the hearts of God's people. Here it is. Here it's happening. Here, right here in Acts chapter 2. The fire of God, the purifying fire, is coming on his people, making them holy, making them beautiful. This is a vision of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He transforms us. Becoming a Christian is not just about having a relationship with God. It's not just about being nice and pleasant to other people. It is about having a refining fire experience. It's about being transformed in our lives, in the way that we act and behave and in our attitudes and in our habits, so that we stand out in the world as witnesses to the purity and the goodness of God. So it's about power, it's about purity, and it's also about presence. It's about the presence of God being with his disciples. What makes all the difference to them? Why are they suddenly now charging out, speaking confidently? Because they know the presence of Jesus with them. It's what he promised before he ascended into heaven. He said, "I will be with you always." If you think back again, this is all there in the Old Testament. When they were wandering around in the desert, do you remember they followed a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night? That was a sign that God was present with them, that he wasn't going to leave them just to roam around and get lost. He wasn't going to nip in and out and check if they were all right from time to time. He was with them all the time, day and night. And so the coming of the wind and the coming of the fire speak again of the Spirit being with the apostles. Now and forever. That power was something that actually the Old Testament people particularly associated with the temple. And when the temple was in trouble, when God abandoned the temple in Ezekiel, Ezekiel foresees a moment that is coming when God will return and will fill his temple with his holy presence. And Ezekiel chapter 34 describes this as the coming of a strong wind as God returns into his temple, as it's blown into the temple. And yet here in Acts chapter 2, it's not a building that the wind fills, it is the people in the building. God has taken that place of his presence in the world from being a building, a temple, a place you can go and visit, and he has made it now his people. The holy people of God are the place where the world can encounter him. So there's a little pen sketch of Pentecost. It's a place of power. It's a place of purity. It's a place of God's presence. But that's all theory, of course. That's all theory. What I find absolutely amazing and exciting about Acts chapter 2 is it looks like these disciples had just got together for a normal get-together service for a Sunday. You know, it seems like they were getting together for a festival. They all knew about Pentecost. They were there, they were worshipping God, and God just takes the initiative and changes the story and changes their lives and the direction of the church forever. So we're going to gather around the Lord's table in a moment. We're going to remember that when Jesus taught his disciples to do this, to break bread and to drink wine, he said that this was to remember that he was with them. That as we eat that bread and we drink that wine, we remember that we are in Christ and he is in us. That power, that refining work, that presence of God is available to us all the time, every day. So we're going to move away from the pen sketch and the theory and the weather charts And we're going to start to just stand in the hurricane to invite the Holy Spirit to blow on us as we receive bread and wine, as we sing his praises, as we pray and open ourselves to him. So we're just going to have some space. Feel free, as we're singing the hymns, to join in with the words when they appear on the screen or not. You may want to stand, you may want to sit, but let's just open ourselves up and